Psalm 85 verse 6 says, "Will you not yourself revive us again, that your people may rejoice in you? Show us your loving kindness, O Lord, and grant us your salvation." Well, good morning and welcome to Real Truth for Today. I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. I'm the pastor of First Baptist Church in Texarkana, Texas. And today we want to talk about revival. If you have been keeping up with the news, you know that there has been something very special going on at Asbury University in Wilmore, Kentucky, about 20 miles southwest of Lexington. And on that small college campus, about 1,600 students, they had chapel, and it just didn't end. And it went on hour after hour, day after day after day. And people were wondering, are they experiencing true revival from the Lord? You know, revival is a work of God in the hearts of His people. And it sets our souls on fire, so to speak, as that old song says, "Set my soul on fire, Lord, set my soul on fire." And it gives them a heart to worship, to get right. There's repentance, there's prayer, there's the exaltation of the Lord Jesus Christ. There's a spillover where people come to know Christ as a result of God's working in a particular church, in a particular community. One of the last big revivals we had was the Welch Revival in the early 1900s, 1904 to 1905. 100,000 people were saved as a result of that Welsh revival, and Wales became known as the land of revival during that time period. And there was a person there, 26-year-old preacher named Evan Roberts, who was kind of the one God used, and he had been praying for revival for 11 years, and God brought that about in Wales. And so people are wondering, what's been going on at Asbury University? Is this genuine? Is this real? Well, it is my pleasure to welcome to the program Robbie Sherman. Robbie is the associational missionary for Little River Association in Arkansas, and he went to Asbury University. He experienced firsthand what is going on there, and so I wanted him to share about that. So, Robbie, welcome to the program.
And hey, thanks for having me, Pastor Jeff.
Well, I appreciate you coming on. So let me ask you, what prompted you to go take the trip to Kentucky?
Well, just like you, studying revival and seeing what was taking place and unfolding, whether it was on news or social media, had a couple friends that were there as well. And Sunday morning, just as I was getting ready to go preach, that morning just felt God speaking to my heart, saying, you know, that I wanted you to go to Asbury, and I wanted to be faithful. Sat on the couch with my wife, Natalie, that morning, and said, "Hey, unless something changes when we get back, I've got to head to Asbury." And God confirmed it that morning as I was just driving to preach, and I just felt like seeing that take place back in 1970 and hearing stories. That was the year I was born, and wanting to see firsthand and experience what God was doing. And that's the reason why I felt compelled to go to Asbury that day.
And when you went, what day was that when you got there?
Left Sunday after church, got there Sunday evening, and spent Monday and part of Tuesday there on the campus.
Last week?
Yes, sir, last week.
And so what did you experience, Robbie?
Well, got there early, visited with a couple friends that were at, that morning, just about what was going on. We went to the chapel service and then into Hughes Auditorium after their chapel was over. It was like when I walked in, I didn't just walk into a building. I just walked into the presence of the Lord. One of my friends that was there, Bill Eliff, was had put in one of his blog posts that he went, as he studied revival for 50 years, he had went into kind of being an observer, but quickly moved to an active participant. And I walked in expecting God to do something and to experience Him. And when I did, I walked in and began to just experience God's sweet presence in a way that was so thick and heavy. It wasn't, you know, it wasn't weird. It was very quiet. You know, maybe even the worship time, you know, a vocal or two, a guitar maybe with it, and it just continued, like you said, from that Wednesday morning from chapel, just 24/7, and just spending time with the Lord at the altar or in worship. Maybe the songs, some of the songs I didn't know, God would take me to scripture, and I begin to read sometimes aloud there where I was at in my seat. And then at one point in that day, on Monday, I was there for about 10 hours, not continuous. It was till about 1:30 Monday afternoon. I was at the altar for a while, but the thing that just seemed overwhelming was that it was almost like time stood still in God's presence. There was the altar praying, and God would bring up sin and confess and maybe points in my life of drifting. Just, you know, you hit those rumble strips on the side of the road when you're driving, mm-hmm. and God was bringing some course correction even in my life. And about 1:30, he said, you know, I wanted to make sure. I said, God, I want to stay here till you're finished with me. And about 1:30, he said, okay, I'm done for now. You can get up and go grab something to eat, kind of take a breath, and I'll catch you later as you come back. And it was just an amazing time of worship as well.
So, Robbie, what would you say? You know, people have been saying on social media, well, this isn't real, and, you know, perhaps this is just a move of man or whatever they say. You know, I think people, I mean, everybody I know that loves the Lord, they want it to be real, but you have some skepticism. And I know that one charismatic guy went there and said, Todd Bentley, and he said, oh, this is such a great move of God. And Jordan Peters said, hey, if Todd Bentley is for it, then it's probably not a move of God because that guy's a heretic. So things like that. Did you go into it thinking, I don't know if this is real or not?
Well, you know, I trust some of the guys that were there, and I asked them, you know, what's your thoughts? And they said the same thing as I do now as sharing with folks that have asked, even when I was there, hey, man, is that real? And I responded back in a text or a message saying, bro, it's real. You need to get here. And it wasn't, and what I would say to those folks, because there's always going to be critics in anything that we see. As we've prayed for revival, and one of my pastors, as we met this last week, you know, we would all say as pastors, you know, we want our churches want revival. But the question is, are we prepared for it? And there was just overwhelming sense of humility and getting low and you know, confession and getting right before the Lord and the spirit of desperation. And so to the critics, I would say, just like, you know, John chapter 9, when Jesus healed the blind man and they called his parents in and said, you know, Jesus is sent, he's healed on all the, and he said, well, ask him. And he said, whether he's a sinner or not, I don't know. All I know is I was blind, and now that I see. Mm-hmm. And by being there and experiencing the presence of God outside of my salvation, that was the most close time and sweet and overwhelming presence. And I've had sprinklings or, you know, at a revival or at mm-hmm. camp or, you know, that God has poured himself out. But not in such a continuous, long, overwhelming manner of not leaving his presence. And then when we came back, it was the same. And that evening, it was back to the same. To that first night, there was, you know, they filled up the 1,500-seat auditorium, went across the street to the 1,000, to the other chapel, which was 500, and they were setting up speakers on the lawn. And it was, there was the preaching of the word, but it was more of, as I look, this is what heaven's going to be like, that God inhabits the praises of his people. And we were worshiping with spontaneous prayer time beside each other or time of confession and seeking the Lord. And so all I can say is what God did in and through me in those moments. And I just knew if I didn't go, I was going to regret not going to experience and be a part of what God was doing. Just like Henry Blackaby said, find where God's at work and join him there. Yeah. I felt like that was where I needed to be.
Amen. Well, So is that kind of like people are were just coming and going? I know you said you were there 10 hours and then you went and got something to eat. And so it's just kind of a stream of people coming in and those leaving. How does that work?
There were people coming and going. They had, you know, a service every night that began at 7:30, but there was a continuous time of worship, of prayer time, of, you know, if you wanted to go down and pray or meet with someone and talk about, and it was all their, you know, their leadership that shepherded the moment to kind of protect that time. And so the bigger, obviously the bigger crowds were when the service would begin at 7:30, but it was continuous all day. So there was in and out, students were in and out. It was blue hairs, no hairs, gray hairs like me. There was young folks. It was a mixture of everyone that was coming to experience the outpouring of the Lord, like back in 1970 when it happened there. And then we saw it as a seminary at Southwestern in 94 when, you know, in Texas, it was Brownwood that we saw God do some outpouring. And we have seen it since. I got a message last night about prayer gatherings at Baylor. They were at University of Kentucky, just all across college campuses as well. And then getting ready for the Night of Prayer for Collegiates, which will be Thursday night. They're going to live stream that as well. Just found out about that, like Thursday night at, I think, 6:30. It's going to be live from, they're going to be at Asbury as well, but it's really, I won't say it's morphed into something but it was people, as I left at 10:30 that night, there were still people coming in. I've read stories and heard people coming, you know, from overseas, from Canada, from obviously friends from other states that have come in just to see what God is doing, experience Him. And everyone that I talked to or everyone that I've seen, it's like, man, I'm so glad I was here to experience what God was doing. And our prayers is that the ember that God has started, and they kind of refused to use the revival word in the moment because they looked at it as that something that history looks at that took place. But the embers that God is doing, that He would blow those across and we'd see another great awakening across the U.S., the world, that I just really feel like there was that overwhelming just humility and seeking the Lord. And there's that spirit of desperation that I think there's such a correlation, you know, on Sunday night, before the Wednesday, I didn't watch, and because we were having our evangelism conference, which you were at speaking and preaching, and that night at the Grammys, got messages of the song that was called Unholy and the guy with the red backdrop and the fire and all that. That I think the state of our country, our students realize their sinfulness, and that there's no hope outside of Jesus Christ. And that we've got to seek Him for things to change because we can't do it in our own strength. And that was it. It was the overwhelming seeking the Lord, asking God to pour Himself out upon this generation. And it began to grow and build.
Now, is it still going on? Because I know our mutual friend Bobby Fisher was going to go, but then he said that...
Yes. Mm-hmm.
He said he couldn't go because...
Right. They had to... because I guess the overwhelming... crowds of response and getting ready for the day of Collegiate Day of Prayer, which is Thursday, which I didn't know about. They were going to allow folks through about 5:00 and then clear the auditorium and allow the collegiates to come in and the high school students because it had swelled so much. But they had to do it. They had to close it earlier than they anticipated.
Yeah.
And but it has also spread to other places. So,
amen. Amen. Well, we've been talking to Robbie Sherman, who went to the Asbury University Revival. And Robbie, thank you so much for coming on today and sharing about that.
That is
exciting. And so, as you said, we need to be praying and saying, God, bring that to our church, bring that to our community, and do a deep work in my own heart. Revive me again that I may rejoice in you. You're listening to Real Truth for Today, and I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve. We're up against a break, but we'll be right back.
We are not allowed to have a U-Haul that comes to heaven with us.
Anna Marie Travers has an AFA Foundation charitable gift annuity.
The Lord has given us things that we can acquire, but you know, everything will stay here, and I'm so thankful for the American Family Annuity Fund, where we can give some to something that we so highly value.
Through the AFA Foundation, a charitable gift annuity provides a monthly income as well as a legacy of support for the American Family Association.
I cannot recommend a better person than they have at AFA to help you with getting your annuity fund. It was so easy.
Call the AFA Foundation today to find out how you can set up a charitable gift annuity. Just call 800-326-4543, extension 345.
Amy Carmichael was a missionary in India, rescuing little girls from abuse. In her 50-plus years of ministry, she witnessed the transforming power of the Bible.
Sorrowful people are comforted. People who were in the dark walk in the light. Is it not wonderful to think that this book is in our hands today?
Bert Harper and Alex McFarlane explore the wonders of the Bible. Weekday afternoons at 3 Central on American Family Radio.
Today's issues.
Blaming a gun for a violent crime or a murder is like blaming the pencil for a misspelled word.
Ooh, I like that.
That would be like a student who he does terrible on spelling, and he says,
"We've had a rash of pencil-oriented mistakes,
misspell words."
Today's issues, weekday mornings at 11 Eastern, 10 Central on American Family Radio.
The following is not an actor, but a real-life story from Trinity Debt Management.
I'm Corey, and this is my story. I was going through some financial troubles paying off my credit cards. I was paying high interest rates, and it just wasn't getting any better. And I knew I had to do something. So my mom told me about Trinity, and so I decided to call. Trinity was able to do something that I couldn't. I'm paying off my debt, I'm saving thousands, and things are really looking up. I promise you guys, you will not regret it when you call Trinity, because it was such a relief and less stress in my life, and it was the best thing I could have done for myself. Because once I called Trinity, they took care of me, and I felt such a relief, a weight off my shoulders, and they are a Christian-based company. I love it.
If you're in debt and you need help, call Trinity at 1-800-788-1813.
I'm Corey, and I'm debt-free for keeps.
1-800-788-1813.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. Well, we were talking in the last segment to Robbie Sherman, who is the Associational Missionary for Little River Baptist Association in Arkansas, and he went last week to Kentucky, to Asbury University, and experienced firsthand what's going on there on that campus, a small college, 1,639 students, Wesleyan Holiness University. That's their groundings in that, from John and Charles Wesley of the 1700s. And he said what's going on is genuine, and he had an experience with the Lord. I trust Robbie. He is he's a solid guy in the Lord, and he had to experience firsthand. He said the Lord really put that on his heart on Sunday morning over a week ago, and he said, "I got to go." And so he drove, and he went there and experienced that. And he said there's prayer, there's the presence of God that is just... you can feel it. You can just sense you're with the Lord, and God is working on hearts, and there's worship, there's praise, there's prayer, there's repentance. You know, all those things that are necessary as we read in Scripture about coming into the presence of the Lord and God to do a work, there has to be a humility. You know, when we read that famous passage of Scripture, 2 Chronicles 7:14, "And if my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face. And Robbie said there was humility and repentance and confession of sin and worship and all the exaltation of Jesus, all those things that accompany revivals. As we've studied, historians have studied revivals throughout the years, as we have read about revivals in Scripture. There is this heart to know God. I love this sentence from Leonard Ravenhill. He said this about revival: as long as we are content to live without revival, we will. You know, when we get to the place where we say, God, as John Knox said, God, give me Scotland lest I die. You know, he had that kind of a prayer that was just so passionate about wanting to see God work in his life and in his country. And, you know, when we have that for our church, for our community, for our nation, for our world, and say, Lord, let it begin in me. Set my soul on fire so that I would love you with all my heart. You know, the danger for you and me, for every Christian, and as the song from Robert Robinson says, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. And in the book of the Revelation, Revelation chapter 2, the Lord sends the first letter to the church in Ephesus. Ephesus was a key city. That's a key church there in Asia Minor. And he said, you know, you have a lot of good things going on here, but I have this against you, that you have left your first love. You don't love me like you used to. You have cooled in your love for me. You're still going through the motions of worship, and you're still doing some right things. And it's not like you're just have totally left the reservation, but you're not white hot, passionately in love with me like you used to be. And so that can happen to every single Christian, just as Robert Robinson wrote those words, come thou fount, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love, prone to drift away from him. And how does that happen? It doesn't happen all at once. It happens little by little by little, little compromises. And pretty soon we have drifted from the Lord, and we're not seeking him like we used to. We're not praying like we used to. And we're not spending time in his word like we used to. We're not witnessing like we used to. We're not meeting people and immediately thinking, I wonder if that person knows Christ. God, give me an opportunity to share Christ with this person. I remember when I was in college, every person I met, that would be the first thought in my mind. Does that person know Jesus? I need to tell them about Jesus. And so, you know, the longer we live in the Christian life, the easier it is to just kind of get comfortable. And, you know, when you first come to Christ, everything is brand new and you're just excited about him. And then the longer you're a Christian, the danger for all of us, we begin to forget the Lord and we take him for granted. It's not that we don't need the Lord. We know that we need him, but we just kind of focus in on other things. You know, the Lord said to the people in Deuteronomy, he said that they were going into the land for the— this is through Moses, Deuteronomy chapter 8. For the Lord your God is bringing you into a good land, a land of brooks, of water, of fountains and springs flowing forth in valleys and hills, a land of wheat and barley, of vines and fig trees and pomegranates, a land of olive oil and honey. Yeah, that's what the land was called, a land flowing with milk and honey. And he said, a land where you will eat food without scarcity, in which you will not lack anything, a land whose stones are iron and out of whose hills you can dig copper. And he says this, Deuteronomy 8:10, when you have eaten and are satisfied, you shall bless the Lord your God for the good land which he has given you. Beware that you do not forget the Lord your God by not keeping his commandments and his ordinances and his statutes, which I am commanding you today. Otherwise, when you have eaten and are satisfied and have built good houses and lived in them, and when your herds and your flocks multiply and your silver and gold multiply and all that you have multiplies, then your heart will become proud and you will forget the Lord your God who brought you out from the land of Egypt, out of the house of slavery. That's a danger for all of us, that we forget God, the God who saved us, the God who redeemed us, the God who delivered us, and we get fat, so to speak, in the blessings of God, and we just kind of put him on the back burner. You know, I have said for years that the church doesn't do well in prosperity. It does really well in adversity, because when you're in adversity, then you seek God. When you're in prosperity, then you don't see how desperately you need God. But the reality is, you and I need God for every single breath. That's why Psalm 150, the last psalm in the book of Psalms, let everything that has breath praise the Lord. Because your breath, my breath, our breath is a gift from God. He doesn't owe us breath. And as long as we have breath in our lungs, we need to give him praise and bless his name and keep our eyes fixed on Jesus, the author and perfecter of faith. And hey, when God blesses, then that is wonderful. Be a blessing. Be a channel. And just say, Lord, I don't want this all just to flow in me. I don't want to be the Dead Sea. I want to be a conduit. And just as he told Moses, through you, all the nations will be blessed. Lord, Abraham, I'm going to bless you so that you can be a blessing. And we need to say, God, you have blessed me. I want to be a blessing to others. And I want to be a conduit so that your blessings can flow through me to other people to make a difference. So we're talking about revival and the cry of the psalmist in Psalm 85. Lord, would you not yourself revive us again that your people may rejoice in you? Revival comes to the people of God. You have to be a believer to be revived. You have to have life to be revived. And if there's no life, how can you be revived? You can be saved, but you can't be revived. So revival comes when God's people get right with him, when God's people seek him. And what is the result? Well, when Christians get right, when they get on fire for the Lord, then it spills over to unbelievers. And you see unbelievers come to faith in Christ. That's why that Welsh revival of 1904 to 1905, you saw 100,000 people come to Christ, come to faith in Christ, because God's people got right, the power of God fell, and people started to put their faith and trust in Jesus. Well, we're going to open the phone lines. The number to call is 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. And I'd love to talk to you about this subject of revival. And maybe you're listening and you went to the revival in that has been taking place at Asbury University in Kentucky, and maybe you have something that you'd like to share about that. You know, when we as God's people seek the Lord with all our hearts, you know, the promise we have from Scripture, Jeremiah 29:13, and you will seek me and find me when you search for me with all your heart. And so when we really say, God, I'm putting you above all things. I'm going to seek first your kingdom and your righteousness, as Jesus said. Then all these things will be added to you. All the things that we worry about. What shall we eat? What shall we drink? What shall we clothe ourselves with? All the needs of life. If we'll seek first the Lord, then we'll experience him in such a fresh new way, and he will take care of all the needs of our lives. We don't have to worry. We don't have to be anxious about those things. And what's the order of the day? When you wake up, when I wake up, seek the Lord. Put him first. And let me encourage you, when you get up in the morning, get out of bed and go to your knees and thank God for the cross, and thank God for sending his son, and thank God for the empty tomb, and thank God for his Holy Spirit, and thank God for the plan that he has for your life this day, and ask God to do a fresh work in you, that you wouldn't be dry or just insensitive in your spiritual life. I had a friend of mine that used to always pray, Lord, keep me green. He said, not so that I would be like a newbie, but keep me green so that I would always be fresh in the Lord. You know, I tell our church all the time, you can't live off yesterday's quiet time. You have to have a fresh touch from God. You have to have, you know, part of the model prayer, give us this day our daily bread, and you seek God every day and for his grace, his mercy, his power. And you seek his face, not his hand. Obviously, we need things in our lives that come from the Lord's hand, but we're not seeking God for what he can give us. We're seeking God because we love him and we want to get close to him. As the Psalms say, or as it says in the Psalms, as for me, the nearness of God is my good. And as we draw near to God, then that changes us from the inside out. Well, we have Lee on the line, our friend Lee from Virginia. Lee, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yes, Pastor, I agree with everything you just said 100%. But this is purely as an inquiring mind. I've been trying to listen to a lot of people about this. And I listened to a guy named, I don't know if you've ever heard him, Spencer Smith. He's an independent Baptist, and I listened to Todd Friel of Wretched Radio, and they've had people down there, and they've told the pros and cons. And the biggest thing that I've got from there, both of them said they was hardly very little, if any, preaching with that revival. And I have never read in the Bible at the day of Pentecost or after 5,000 were saved and then 3,000, where there has ever, and even the Wesley brothers in this country and the Great Awakening, where there's ever been a true revival without the preaching of God's Word. And they both said that what little preaching they was done. One of them, I seen a tape of it, was done by a woman named Mama something. And the head of the head chaplain of that university is a woman, which to me it goes against the Word of God.
Right.
And I'm kind of, I'm isolated, but years ago I heard about this Toronto blessing,
right,
and the Pensacola revival. And I thought, even CBN reported on it, what a great thing it was. But after I got access to find out about some of these things, they wasn't revivals at all. In my opinion, I mean, and Todd Bentley was in these places like that, and I think it'll take time to tell if this is a true a revival. I was listening that Wesleyan University, this is their eighth revival that they've had, I think, since 1870. And they do not major on sin, repentance, the wrath, or the judgment of God down there. And they're talking, which is good, at the Methodists and Baptists and different ones are getting together. But they also said there was a lot of Catholics coming in there. Mm-hmm. And I know there's some good Catholic people, but I think they're in a real bad system. So I think, personally, I hope it's a true revival. God knows we need one, but I'm kind of skeptical of what I've heard. I just can't see how you can have a revival. I doubt you have ever had a revival in your church and not had the preaching of God at center stage. And plus, they're using most of their music, not all, but most of it, is this music from this Bethel Church in California. And I've heard that they sing these same songs for 20 minutes. And I'll just listen to what you have to say. But
Yeah, I appreciate that, Lee. I appreciate your comments. I think that, you know, I think there are a lot of us that are saying, hey, I want this to be real. But I have questions about it because there are some things, as you said, you know, if there's not the preaching of the Word, and I think there's a lot of the reading of the Word from what I have gathered and what I've seen. They read passages of Scripture. You know, Paul told Timothy, until I come, give attention to the public reading of Scripture. I think that is a good thing. Obviously, there's a lot of prayer. If there's true repentance and confession of sin, that's a great thing. And, you know, as we see this and as we begin to pray, bring that, bring a real work of your Spirit into my heart, into my family, into my church, into my community, I mean, that is a positive thing for sure. And so it's hard for me to know in everyone's life, is this genuine and is this real? But I can know it in my life, and I can seek the Lord concerning that. Well, when we get back, we'll take calls from Larry and Jeremy. We're up against a break. Don't go away.
Forget about Facebook.
The last 10 days we've been banned twice, and is unbanning a word?
They put us under the ban. Christians and conservatives
don't need you, YouTube.
Banned one day, banned again.
AFR programs are now live streaming on the AFA streaming app. Now you can get shows like Today's Issues straight from the source.
Put back on the next.
Just say unbanned.
Unbanned.
Just search AFA streaming or visit streaming.afa.net to sign up. The AFA Resource Center has all your favorite items. Everything from books, movies, shirts, and even hats. Introducing AFA's polyester and twill hats, starting at just $18. Whether you're into fashion, a collector, or you're just having a bad hair day, these hats are just what you need. You can buy one for yourself or a friend. Purchase your AFA hat today at resources.afa.net.
Let's be real. Retirement is expensive, and inflation is making it even harder with the cost of everything going up from pet food to a dozen eggs. Wouldn't it be great if the cost of your health care could go down? Well, MediShare 65 Plus is $99 a month for ages 65 to 74. And for many with Medicare Parts A and B, looking at other options, that's 50% or more saved per month. No gimmicks. It's $99 a month, and you can use any Medicare-approved doctor or facility, and you get 24/7 access to telehealth from the convenience of your home. Better yet, MediShare is a Christian nonprofit organization. It's a community that'll pray for you and encourage you. And since we've cut out the middleman, you get to keep the savings. Call now. You can learn more about MediShare 65 Plus. Here's the number, 833-45-BIBLE. That's 833-45-BIBLE, 833-45-BIBLE.
Who says you can't have your cake and eat it too? If you're like a lot of people, you would like to support the culture-changing efforts of the American Family Association. But there's the very pressing reality that your income must meet your current needs as well as act as seed for future income, either for the short term or for life. A charitable gift annuity might be your answer. A charitable gift annuity offers a unique method for both planning ahead for permanent income and supporting the work of the American Family Association. An AFA Foundation representative will walk you through the details of creating a charitable gift annuity, allowing you to decide if a charitable gift annuity is right for your individual financial situation. Connect with us today by calling 800-326-4543, extension 345, or visit us online at afafoundation.net.
Welcome back to Real Truth for Today. Pastor Jeff Shreve here. We've been talking about revival. We've been talking about what's been going on at Asbury University in Kentucky. And we had my friend Robbie Sherman from Little River Baptist Association. He's the associational missionary there, who told about his experiences when he went last week to Asbury, and he experienced the presence of the Lord there. And I trust Robbie. He's not a fly-by-night guy. He's a solid guy in the Lord. And but there are those who are skeptical, and as I mentioned, I think everybody who loves the Lord wants this to be real and wants this to be true, but we don't want to be duped either, so there's always the sense of, well, I want this to be true, but I'm not really sure. And our last caller, Lee, he expressed those same sentiments, so I think many of us are there. But we have the phone lines open, 888-589-8840. That's 888-589-8840. Love to talk to you if you have a question or comment about this. And we have Larry from Texas on the line. Larry, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, hi, Pastor Shreve. Thanks for taking my call.
Sure.
At the outset of your of today's show, you mentioned about keeping the Lord's commandments and the heart to know God. And I would think, and I pray that this is a true revival, but I would think that would be the center of any revival. And how do you do that? That you get you do that through the reading of God's word. And I don't know if that took place or if it really took place or there's just a lot of you know, this feels good that we're all together, and but God's word never returns void. It just seemed would seem to me if it was a true revival, and I guess I'm more on the skeptical side, that we would hear, you know, people, you know, saying, "Hey, praise the Lord! Look what he told us in His Word," and then we can believe it because it's true. And I didn't really see that or hear it. And then I heard some contradictory things, as the other gentleman had mentioned. You know, I hear the Bethel music, and you know that many of those words are not biblical. And I'm thinking, I want to believe, but I don't want to be duped either. So.
Right. Well, I mean, I agree with you, Larry. I think that's where a lot of us are. We want to see God move in our nation. We desperately need that. We want to see God move, especially in the hearts of young people, because the next generation is just going down the swirling sewers of sin. And they're facing temptations that we never faced. I'm 60 years old, that I never faced as a high school kid growing up, a college kid growing up. The temptations are just more prevalent. They're just at every turn. And so we want to see that. And so, you know, I think that it can be a mixed bag. God can be at work, just like I was talking to my son-in-law, who's our media director here at First Baptist Texarkana, Jay, and I said, you know, just like in a church service, you know, the Lord can be really working in a service, and but that doesn't mean everyone experiences that. And there are no doubt going to be some people that are living in sin; they're not willing to repent, but others are experiencing the fire of God and the work of the Holy Spirit in their lives. And so, it could be some of that. Obviously, something is going on there for that to take place hour after hour after hour, and people not wanting to leave, and people coming in from other parts of the nation and even outside of the nation to experience that. I know that there can be fake things, and we don't want to be duped with that. But I also know that the devil, whenever the Lord is working, the devil wants to bring confusion. And you read in Acts 8, when Philip proclaimed Christ in Samaria, the crowds were giving attention to what he was saying, and they heard and saw the signs which he was performing. And many who had unclean spirits, they were coming out of them, shouting with a loud voice, and many who had been paralyzed and lame were healed. So there was much rejoicing in that city. But then you have Simon the sorcerer, and he comes, and so the devil will come to try and make crooked the straight paths of the Lord. So, you know, I think we have need to have just kind of guarded optimism with that, and maybe not jump in whole hog with things that we don't know, but just say, "Hey, God, if this is real, I want it in my life. I want it in my church. I want to see you move." And so, if nothing else, if what this produces is a desire in the hearts of believers to see God do a work in them and in their churches and in their communities, to go back to that Leonard Ravenhill quote, "As long as we are content to live without revival, we will." So if this does nothing else but just give us such a hunger and thirst to see the Lord move in such a powerful way where we live, then I say praise the Lord. That's an awesome thing. So thanks for calling in, Larry. Thanks for your comments. I appreciate that so much. Well, we have Jeremy from Mississippi on the line. Jeremy, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. One of the problems I have with the skepticism about the revival is they say, well, we have to wait and see if it's a real revival. Here's the thing. If people are being revived, it's a revival. God doesn't necessarily go for numbers for saying, oh, well, this was a successful revival because this many people got saved, this many people got, you know, revived, came to me, you know, got a closer relationship with me. God is reviving people. You could have one person be revived, and it's a revival for that person. You could have 100 people be revived, and it can be a revival. Whether it spreads across the nation doesn't matter. They are being revived.
Mm-hmm. And all the people who are saying that they're not sure if this is the real thing haven't been there. I mean, I haven't been there either, but I've read enough, I've heard enough, and I've seen articles. I've heard people saying, well, the people who run that facility say, well, we don't want to show everything. You know, we don't want to stream everything. We have capability, but we don't want to show everything because there are people who are having real repentance going on here. We don't need to show. Right. There's a lot of personal things going on in this revival. There's a lot of things that are going on that streaming just would not show. And what's more is when you come into the presence of God, you have to worship him. They worship God there because they asked him to come down, and he showed up. And whenever he showed up, people, even if you are not a type of person who is necessarily needing the revival, when you're in the presence of God, every knee shall bow and every tongue confess. So when you're in the presence of God, you have to react. Mm-hmm. So whether people think it's real or not, whether people think it's going to be a successful revival that goes across the nation or not, whenever you're in the presence of God, you have to react. Even if you're not the person that God necessarily is doing this for, even if you are just going to go away and the feeling's going to go away, the glory's going to go away, but he has had an effect on you. Mm-hmm. So even if you're the fertile ground with the weeds all around that are going to strangle it as soon as you walk away, even if God still had an effect, God still had an effect on you, and even if you choose to let it fall away, that does not change the fact that they asked for God to come down and he showed up.
Yes, that's a good point, Jeremy. I appreciate that. Revival is a personal thing as well as a corporate thing, but you can be in the presence of that. Many people were in the presence of Jesus and walked away. You know, John chapter 6, they ceased to follow him because they said, these are difficult sayings, who can receive them? And they weren't following him anymore. So there are going to be lots of people in hell that heard Jesus preach and witness the miracles, but they never gave their hearts and lives to Christ. So things can be happening in one person's life, and the person right next to them is not receiving that because their hearts are filled with pride and rebellion. But when we have a humble heart, when we are in the presence of the Lord and we yield to him, that's when he does a deep work in us. So I appreciate your comments. Thank you for calling in today. We have Gilbert from South Dakota. Gilbert, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you for allowing me to come on your show today. I really enjoy the conversation, and I in all due respect, there's always going to be critics. There's always going to be those that will question maybe what's happening. But as a pastor of a church in Aberdeen here, we have experienced 24-hour, 36-hour, 48-hour worship and prayer services, and part of those services, there's always going to be testimony. There's always going to be teaching, preaching. We've experienced and sponsored and co-sponsored these events in the city of Aberdeen, and it has been an amazing mini revival, if you want to call it. And the way I always look at it, it starts out, and it's amazing. People have purpose when they come. They don't come just to watch what's happening. They come there to actually pray. They come to seek God. They're sincere. And that's what I've noticed, is the sincerity of the folks that show up. And then the word gets out. And then the folks sometimes show up later just to see what's going on. And they're being touched. And so it becomes so spontaneous. We did a 24-hour, turned into a 26-hour. It was just the people didn't want to leave. The worship continued. The prayer continued. We did a 30-hour, and it turned into a 48-hour in a community center on Main Street, downtown Aberdeen, and it wasn't even in a church. And it was just, The folks didn't want to leave, and they kept coming, and that's what's so real about it, is the fact that it's spontaneous, and the presence of God. I mean, you know, 3 o'clock in the morning, the waves of God's presence and His anointing. I can't explain it. As a pastor, we have longed to see that in our services, but we're locked into it maybe an hour and a half on a Sunday morning, maybe an hour and a half, 2 hours on a Wednesday night. And that, you know, people just watch the clock. But if you don't watch the clock, revival can happen.
Yeah, that's a good word, Gilbert. Yeah, we kind of say, well, God, here's this hour, do great and mighty things. And, you know, I've said before, and I have to repeat this to myself often, you know, the Lord speaks as He spoke to Elijah in a still small voice. And so a still small voice means I have to get quiet and I have to get close so that I can hear from the Lord. And I don't put God in a box, and I don't say, God, well, I have 2 minutes, so speak some great revelation to me in these 2 minutes. I have to have unhurried time in the presence of the Lord to worship Him, to seek His face, to just marinate in His presence. And I think that when we do that as individuals and we do that corporately, that God just begins to work. He responds to that. He says, call to me and I will answer you and show you great and mighty things which you do not know. But God doesn't answer on the first ring. He wants us to call and keep calling. That's why Jesus said, ask and it will be given to you, seek and you'll find, knock and it shall be opened to you. And those are continuous verbs. Ask and keep asking, seek and keep seeking, knock and keep knocking. The Lord responds to persistence. And as we persistently ask Him to do a deep and fresh work in our lives, in our churches, in our communities, God is faithful to answer that. So God bless you, brother. Thank you. And may God bless your ministry. Well, we have time for, I think, one more. Cheryl from Mississippi. Cheryl, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Thank you. Can you hear me?
Yes.
Good. I'm on my telephone. I think all my comments have already been commented on. I basically was going to say that I don't believe revival is a movement. Movements come and go quite often. And I think we should wait for the evidence. There's always evidence. If it's a true revival, it will truly be known. And we truly need a revival. And the other thing to point out is our young people are seriously hungry, you know. Mm-hmm. They could be deceived, and that's true. We're all easily deceived. But I think our young people are seriously hungry for the Lord. So let's pray that it's real, and let's look for evidence.
Amen. Amen. Good word, Cheryl. Thank you for that. Joe from North Carolina. Joe, welcome to Real Truth for Today.
Yeah, I understand we're down to the wire. I'll make it real quick. Maybe one of the lessons learned, pastors are listening into this, increase your infrastructure as far as like amplification, speaker systems or whatever. I suspect at Asbury College, they lack that. Hence the critic at the beginning of the show saying, well, you know, there was no preaching being done. Well, probably there wasn't the means or capability of amplifying it out to the crowd that I understand was like in 5 different locations and you had a line 6 blocks long. So if we're going to have revivals of this nature in the future, think in terms of your infrastructure, starting with speaker networks and amplifiers and so on. So that's all I have.
All right. Thank you, Joe. Thank you for calling in. Well, thanks for joining us today, Real Truth for Today. And I'm your host, Pastor Jeff Shreve, as we talked about the subject of revival and make Psalm 85 your prayer. Lord, revive me. Will you not yourself revive me again that I may rejoice in you and be the person that you want me to be. Do a fresh work in me. Well, may that be your prayer, my prayer today, as we see God work in answer to that prayer. God bless you. Make it a great day.
The views and opinions expressed in this broadcast may not necessarily reflect those of the American Family Association or American Family Radio.